It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about a new phone scam that has been widely reported in Wisconsin.
First, former Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt was confirmed as the head of the Environmental Protection Agency earlier today in the U.S. Senate. His nomination has been seen as controversial given his contentious relationship with the agency and allegations that he has ties to big energy lobbies.
Yesterday, an Oklahoma judge honored a lawsuit from the Madison-based Center for Media and Democracy, which would require the Oklahoma Attorney General's office to turn over more than 2,500 emails, which are believed to show ties between Pruitt and oil and gas companies.
Nick Sergey joins us now to talk about the lawsuit and Pruitt. He's the director of research for the Center for Media and Democracy. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Good to be with you.
Before we get to the emails, Nick, your reaction to the confirmation earlier this afternoon of Scott Pruitt?
I think it's pretty disappointing for anybody who cares about environmental protection. It's probably a pretty good day for big polluters. If they were to pick anyone to be head of the Environmental Protection Agency, they might well pick Scott Pruitt. So it's a disappointing decision by the Senate.
Now talk about these emails. How long have you been trying to get them under the Oklahoma open records laws?
A long time. Seems like a very, very long time ago. We started looking at Scott Pruitt towards the end of 2014, and we were looking at him because he at that time was really emerging as one of the leading opponents against the Environmental Protection Agency and a leading opponent of various different rules and regulations that they had issued in order to try and curb pollution that was causing global warming and pollution that was affecting safe drinking water and various other rules. And he had filed, well, by the time that he was confirmed, he'd filed 14 lawsuits against the Environmental Protection Agency. And so we were following on from some really good reporting by the New York Times, ended up winning the Pulitzer Prize for their reporting. A big part of that was looking at Scott Pruitt. We started filing public records requests at the beginning of 2015, and we've filed a total of 9 since then. And until last Friday, we were yet to get a single page of any of the documents that they said that they had, but that they were holding back for review. And we didn't get those records on Friday. It was just a tiny fraction of what they said that they have. We didn't get that until we filed a lawsuit. And these are important records. These are email communications, thousands, they say, between Scott Pruitt and coal, oil, and gas companies. And these are companies that Pruitt will now regulate now that he's been appointed and confirmed as head of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Now take us up to yesterday. A judge in Oklahoma ruled in favor of your lawsuit, saying these documents had to be turned over. What did we hear from the judge in issuing that?
So we had argued that that 2 years was too long. Oklahoma law requires prompt disclosure of records, and if they're able to claim some exemption for some of those records. We had been waiting, as I say, for more than 2 years for some of these requests, more than a year for some of the other requests. And we'd said to the court that that's really too long and that there's a particular urgency right now. We'd asked for an expedited hearing because Scott Pruitt is about to become really the world's top regulator as head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, the judge granted us an expedited hearing, and then yesterday in court, the judge was really having none of the arguments made by Scott Pruitt's lawyer, and I think did as much as we could hope for, which was that they ordered more than 2,500 emails from our first request to be released next Tuesday. And then thousands of other records we're expecting to get the following week. But unfortunately, they didn't come soon enough for members of the Senate to be able to see those, members of the media, before the Republicans pushed through a vote at the Democrats' objections just this afternoon.
Talking to Nick Sergey from the group, the Center for Media and Democracy. Based in Wisconsin, they had filed lawsuits after years of open records requests looking for records from then Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt. who was just confirmed earlier today as the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, confirmed in the Senate. Nick, Democratic senators had tried to postpone this hearing until after that scheduled release of the documents on Tuesday. Do you expect that there will be something in there that might have led to a different vote?
I think there may well have been. We know from records that the New York Times that I mentioned had managed to obtain about 2.5 years ago that Scott Pruitt has a very close relationship with a number of coal, oil, and gas companies. And the New York Times was able to get emails that showed Scott Pruitt on a number of occasions received letters that Devon Energy, which is an Oklahoma-based oil and gas company that's quite controversially involved in fracking around the country. They had written a number of letters and asked him if he would submit them under his own name to various federal agencies, asking them to essentially roll back environmental protections. And he did, and he put them on the Oklahoma Attorney General letterhead and presented them and sent them in as if they were his own. The New York Times revealed that. And as I mentioned, they ended up winning the Pulitzer Prize for that reporting. We should have actually got some of those emails ourselves, some of those same emails that the New York Times was able to obtain and published. There's some overlap with our requests. We should have got 27 that we identified that the New York Times had published. We didn't get any of them. All of the kind of embarrassing emails that the New York Times was able to get 2.5 years ago were left out of our request. But there was also more than 2,500 other emails between Scott Pruitt, his chief of staff, and a couple of other top staffers, and a range of coal, oil, and gas companies. So I can't see any reason why, since they didn't claim any exemptions, didn't claim any privilege, that these were documents that were involved in litigation. Maybe they'll make that argument later. But they didn't claim them in holding them back. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't have given us those records, other than they paint a picture of this very friendly, close relationship between Scott Pruitt and companies and industries that he's now going to be overseeing as really the top regulator in the world, at a very crucially important period in our history. We're really running out of time if there's going to be significant action to tackle climate change. And now we have somebody who hasn't been properly vetted. He refused to answer many questions that were put to him by members of the Senate through his confirmation process. They have a constitutional role to play there in terms of vetting nominees, and it's a rigorous process, and it should be, because these are important positions. He didn't answer many of those questions. He has blocked at every turn the release of these emails. And I think that they would have probably told us a lot about that ongoing relationship that we know that he has with many of these companies. But we're still hopeful these emails are going to be published, I should say. We're still going to fight the case. We should get some emails on Tuesday, more the following week, and we have four other pending requests that we're going to continue to fight.
It could be argued, I think the supporters of Pruitt might argue, this isn't so embarrassing that he was in touch with these companies. He was the attorney general of the state, worried about what he perceived as federal overreach from the EPA that was limiting the ability of companies in his state to do business. What is wrong with that?
Well, I think if there's nothing embarrassing in these emails, then he should publish them. I think that there have been emails in the past that have shown him very willing to be the mouthpiece of industries that he's regulating. And, he didn't in anywhere in that letter say, by the way, this is actually the letter that was written by Devon Energy. He presented it entirely as if it was his own, and he was calling for rules that would affect Devon's profits to be rolled back. And that shows a serious conflict of interest in our view.
What are your concerns now? Scott Pruitt has been confirmed as the new head of the EPA, even with these documents out on Tuesday. It's not that likely that it would change things, I imagine. What are your concerns moving forward?
Well, I think there may be things in these records that that would make the case that he may have to recuse himself from certain actions. We'll have to see what we get. Emails that the Times released 2.5 years ago, and I should say the relatively small number of emails that the New York Times obtained, as was it appears a much larger request. We're expecting thousands of emails, so there may be more there. But the emails that the Times presented showed things. There were emails that showed those letters that Devon Energy wrote. There was also more innocuous emails that they received that showed, for example, Scott Pruitt's chief of staff wanting to bring her children to the Devon Tower for a day out. There were emails like that. It was showing a very, very friendly, close, cordial relationship. And so there may be instances where Pruitt, as a result of these emails being published, has to accuse himself. But I think in general what we're concerned about with Scott Pruitt, and many are concerned about this, is that he's a climate change denier. He is someone that has sued the EPA 14 times. He is not somebody that believes in strict environmental protections. There's a lot that he could do as head of the Environmental Protection Agency that would undo a lot of the far too slow, I should say, reforms that have been promoted through the Obama years. And there was frustration that perhaps political capital at the beginning of the Obama years were expended on other issues and not enough on climate change, and that there was, as a result, we're now facing 4 years where we need very, very strong leadership from the United States internationally in order to try and deal with some of the problems, the very intense problems around climate change, and we're very unlikely to get that. I would say it's impossible that we are going to get that from the Environmental Protection Agency headed up by Scott Pruitt.
And Nick, before we wrap up, the judge has ordered these documents you're looking for to be released on Tuesday. Do you expect that will happen, or do you anticipate another legal challenge to prevent that release between now and then?
Well, we'll see. We've heard nothing so far that's indicated that they're going to file an appeal, but that's possible. Of course, up until this point, everything that's happened with the case has happened while Scott Pruitt is the boss of the lawyers who've been defending him and trying to prevent disclosure of these emails. Scott Pruitt is no longer the Attorney General of Oklahoma. He's now the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And, so it's possible they won't appeal. It is possible they might and decide that they want to continue to defend against these emails, which will really reveal that relationship, I think, in really close detail. It's possible that they're trying to block that. But we'll see. Currently, we're expecting release of these records.
Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Nick Sergey is Director of Research for the Center for Media and Democracy based in Wisconsin. He joined us today to talk about a lawsuit that the group has pending that calls for the release of emails sent by now EPA head Scott Pruitt while he was Attorney General of Oklahoma. A judge yesterday demanded the release of those documents next Tuesday.